information. Thank you. Mishnah Navos describes Kol Ava Shatuli Bedavar, Batla Adavar, Batla Ava. If a love is based on a particular stimulus, so then when that stimulus falls away, then the love falls away. In contrast, says the Mishnah, if the love is based on no particular stimulus, so then it's a Ava Shasofa Eskayim, then it's a love that's going to stay forever. That's why I want to talk about Be'ezer Hashem tonight. In this week's parasha, there is an amazing medrash that we make reference to often. Masharav Shifcha Bayam Lo Ra Yecheskel Ben Buzi Biyamav. That what the even the simplest maidservant, the Gilui that she saw at Yamsuf, so then that Gilui was something that even Yecheskel Babuzi didn't see. And the famous Vart, Reb Chaim Shmuel Levitz, said that that idea begs a question. Klal Yisrael's Nichshal just a few weeks later with the Averos of Avodah Zarah. How could that possibly be? They were Zocha to a tremendous Gilui. Says Reb Chaim, the Yisod is that what comes easy to a person, if it was something that was an outside stimulus that they were zocha to, so then in such a case, what comes easy falls away easily. Yecheskel had to work his entire life. He had to work to reach the Madregas of Nevuah. If we achieved something, and I want to talk about three things in our lives, if we achieve those things because of outside stimuli, then there's a tremendous pachad. They could have been fantastic giluyim, but they'll fall away. They won't last. And Be'ezer Hashem, tonight I want to talk about three topics that might be a little bit in Yonah Diyoma for different reasons. And they are friendships, Avodas Hashem, and parenting. All three areas where we have to think about Ahava Shatluya Bedavar and whether our relationship with those items are dependent on particular stimuli, because if they do, as great as the experience, they're not going to last, and God forbid, could hamper us in many, many ways in our lives. You know, they say a joke that when a girl came home, and she says to her father, "Dad, I'm engaged to this great guy." And the father says, "Really? Does he have a lot of money?" And the girl says back to the father, and she says, "Dad, you guys are all the same. That's the first question he asked me about you too." Ava Shetluya Bedavar. Friendships. This time of year, particularly in January time, when there are alumni that come back and there are fellows who are thinking about those who have to leave in the middle of the year or those who are beginning to think about going back to the States, we often are faced with a real, real challenge. And that challenge is how to deal with friends who are not exactly the way we are, who are different. How are we supposed to relate to them? And I think the crux of the question revolves around what type of relationship that friendship is and was. There are some type of friendships that guys had from their days in high school that they did a lot of stuff together, good things, bad things. What bound them together was those experiences. That davar. That's ahava shetluya bedavar. Those friendships don't last. And I don't know if you have an achrayus to maintain those friendships. Especially if those friends, God forbid, are negative influences. Then there are other friendships that there were times that you might have done even bad things together. But those experiences were not what created those bonds. The bond was a true bond between friends. And friendship is something that the Torah HaKadosha looks at in a very, very, very lofty light. Avas David v'Yonason is an example. Rabosai, if there are those types of friendships, that were in Tzuliyah B'davar, I believe even if you've become stronger, you have a responsibility, a human responsibility, a Torah responsibility to maintain the friendship, of course, on religious terms. But that those friendships are friendships that are friendships for life. And who knows that even though your friend has fallen in a place that you have nothing to do with anymore, but who knows what that friendship could do in future generations and future years. And that's a chiyuv. Of course, the condition, if it was an ava shein etuli bedavar, is that it continues to be ava shein etuli bedavar. And that means that if there are certain things that you do that are that you don't do anymore, that are inappropriate, of course, that has to be maintained. I have a friend like that. I have a friend that we did things together. I would say that you would never imagine that he's a close friend of mine. He's one of the dearest friends in my heart. You see us walking down the street, you would never think the two of us are close friends. And we still do what we can to maintain that kesher, even though it's clear that the boundaries and the hagdoros of the friendship is defined, from my perspective, on Torah Kedosha. So we have to ask ourselves, there are some friendships that were just simply Tuliyah B'davar, and then there are some friendships that are meaningful, and even if the person is in a totally different place, that doesn't mean that the friendship should not be maintained. Number two, Avodas Hashem. This is a time of year, for lack of a better term, maybe I think we could describe it as Shtark time. This is a time of year where guys are beginning to, at least some guys, are beginning to hit a certain level, a certain gear in their Avodas Hashem. And we have to ask ourselves, what type of Avodas Hashem is this? What type of Ava is this? Is this a Ava Shetluya B'davar or not? And some basic things to ask ourselves. Is our Avodas Hashem, number one, defined by whether people are watching? Number two, is our Avodas Hashem every once in a while dependent on the type of compliments that people are saying, what people around us are saying about what we're doing? Number three, is our Avodas Hashem surrounded by certain highs, spiritual highs that we're feeling good about ourselves because we're learning and are davening? If that's what is the stimulus, then that's called Avodas Shetuliyah B'davar. Because there are times Avodas Hashem is hard and it's painful. It's not only about highs. And the last question, this takes me to the last topic, last question we need to ask ourselves, is in some way, and maybe the roots are growing very, very deep into the ground as we spoke about last week, but is it in some way our Torah, our learning, our connections to Rabbeim, our connections to Eretz Yisrael, our Dveikus to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is there a way that we could see that it's making us a better person? Lo nitne teira elo tzarif es habriyas. If all of these great spiritual experiences are not in some way forming us, then the odds are that there's a lot of great stimuli that great yeshiva programming is doing, but at the end of the day, botla adavar botla ava. Those are hard questions that we need to ask about ourselves in terms of our Avodas Hashem. Now to the third topic. By the way, I saw one more anecdote I heard from Dennis Prager about this Nakuda, about Ava Shetuliyah B'davar and Avodas Hashem. There was once a fellow that went into a barber, it was a fireman, and the barber said, "Fireman," he gave him a haircut, and he said, "Fireman, you know, you do so much for society, this is on me." The fireman comes back, and he brings him a fire hat as a show of thanks. A medic comes in, And he says, you know, medic, you do so much for society. He gives him a free haircut. The medic comes back and he brings him a stethoscope and he hangs it up on the wall. Then a rabbi comes in and he gives the rabbi a haircut. And he says, Rabbi, you're a man of the cloth. This is on me. The rabbi comes back and he brings another rabbi with him. For some people, that's their avodas Hashem. That's their rabbonus. That's the whole rabbonus. That's what their rabbonus is. How we progress in this nekuda of tluya bedavar, is this all of what our rabbonus is all about, is going to be critical in what type of parents we are. Let me explain. And Rabosai, it's not too early to think about what type of father you are going to be. There's a famous Yisoda. The reason why this is Nogel in Yonah Diyoma as well for me is I just started learning with the Grus guys, Chinuch Habonim. And the world is a different place. After Revolbi introduced that there are two forms of Chinuch. One of the most important essays that were probably written in the last, maybe even century, in Machsheves Yisrael. Revolbi described that there's Riyah b'chinuch and there's Binyan b'chinuch. That you create children through two parts of chinuch. One is by helping them grow as a plant, and the other is like building them like as a building. Now, Rabosai, what does it mean to build a child through building? What that refers to is encouraging a child, training a child, that there are certain behaviors that are appropriate and there are certain behaviors that are inappropriate. That's called positive reinforcement, negative reinforcement. That's building. If we think about it, that is the process of developing a human being through tluya bedavar. It's the process in which we tell an individual, if you get this, you'll be that. And if you don't get this, you'll be that. The relationships, all of their human relationships are all tluya bedavar. That's binyan. Zariah is an entirely different circumstance. Planting a child is that you're not touching the child at all. You're creating a certain environment that's around them. There's no negative reinforcement and there's no positive reinforcement. And Revolbi says the ability to direct children in that type of way, where there isn't a binyan, where there isn't a dover hatolui, but rather what's being created is a child in a particular environment, and I'm going to explain in a moment what that means, that is real chinuch. And if you think about it, if our relationships now are entirely relationships that are tluya bedavar, then a person who knows relationships only as tluya bedavar, then they'll be mechanech as tluya bedavar. That's the only form of human interaction that they know. That's the form of relationship they know. That's the form of relationship that they know with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And what happens? A child that's raised in such a circumstance, so they're no different than Pavlovian dogs. Pavlov was one of the first behaviorists who taught that you could get dogs to do almost anything based on reward and punishment. But there's a certain time, and you and I know this in our own development, that the things that our parents rewarded us with and punished us with, they lost its meaning, they lost its effect. And so just like Lahavdil, Revolbi develops in the world of psychology. There was a response. The first school of psychology was a school of behaviorism. And then there were psychologists that came along and said, no, Watson and Skinner were wrong. It's not simply about training a child, but it's creating a certain cognition, a certain way a child perceives their existence, perceives what's important and what's not. Are we going to raise our children because we ourselves were raised by simply responding to stimuli? Or are we going to raise our children to have a tshuka, to live inspired lives? Rabbi Moshe Feinstein Zatzal, how was he remembered by his kids? How do Reb Reuven and Reb David remember him? So there are two amazing things that they say. They remember two very, very specific things. From what I've read, nothing about Rav Moshe telling them about learning. We'll get to that in a moment. Number one is that no matter what was going on in Rav Moshe Zatzal's life, no matter who was visiting in the house, they were always next to him. They were always sitting next to him. Because Rav Moshe was conveying to them through Zriya, without any type of stimuli, showing to them that they were the most important things in his life. And you don't need to say a word. The words "I love you" are empty if they're just simply words. There have to be something that's portrayed to children through Zriya, not through Binyan. Also, one of Ramesh's sons says, it's well known that Ramesh used to prepare shir very, very early in the morning. He was busy the rest of the day. He used to get up very early. Every morning that child woke up, their socks were on the radiator. Ramesh, before he opened up the Gemara, Ramesh would go into their room and put their socks on the radiator so that they wouldn't be cold in the New York freezing winter. That's Zriya. And if the house is a house where the father learns, where the father models learning Torah, then that's all a child needs. The child doesn't need any negative or positive reinforcement on a day in and day out basis. There are times, and for that we have Chinuch Habanim classes. Every once in a while a child does need a punishment. Every once in a while a child does need a reward. Maybe often needs rewards. But the mahus of chinuch, the essence of chinuch, the essence of our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the essence of our relationship with others that are going to last, has to be without exterior stimuli. It has to be because this is something that I want to be. This is a house that I want to be a part of. This is my parents created that house, and that's a house that I want to create for my children without any particular binyan whatsoever. One of the most powerful advertisements that I could recall from the New York subway system, and there are a lot of advertisements, was an advertisement about abuse. And the picture of a black child with his eyes wide open. And it said on top, very, very powerful, "Inside is the most sensitive recording device that humanity knows." In every single child, these, I don't know what they're called anymore, whatever these recording devices are, they're nothing compared to the recording device inside of a little child. And the Zriya, the love that is the sun from the parent, the rain, the water that gives them their nurture, that's what makes the children. The Zriya. And if you want to know how do I instill values to my children in one sentence, 10 minutes is more than up. The way in which I instill those values to my children is by bringing what's important for them into my home. If there are things that you want your children to have, bring it to the home. If there are things that are aspects in the world that you don't want them to have, to be a part of them, they're going to be exposed to it on some level. But if they see that it's not critical to you, it's not part of your existence, then the odds are 9 out of 10 that it won't become part of theirs. It's the Avo Sheinu Tluya B'Dovar. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give us a Siyata D'Shmaya, that we should be Zoche to a Avo with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We should be Zoche to a true Avo with our children. We should be zochet to true dibul chaverim and constantly, constantly, constantly ask ourselves, how is the relationship defined? Is it a relationship that's inspired, or it's a relationship that is simply about responding to particular stimuli? We should be zochet to dveikus.